the news of the day is Kyle Orton's retirement. Doug, were you, either, both Dougs, were you surprised by it? And how does that affect your to-do list?
Well, I mean, Coach can say, I was surprised he told us this morning. So we had no inclination that he was thinking in making that decision at this time or down the road. So it was surprising. And for the future, that's what the evaluation process, we'll start looking at that right after this meeting.
Yeah, and I can confirm, and Doug knows, that I found out first thing this morning. So obviously it's always a surprise, especially when you're not thinking in those terms.
How would that have impacted your decision-making as to who to play at that position and or moving forward?
Well, moving forward, again, like Doug said, those are the things we'll talk about. But it would have impacted – I would have had to make a decision of who would have been the best player for us to play, you know, during that week. And I would have had to put some thought into it if I knew it prior to.
Did you get a sense at all throughout this that this was a player who maybe had this on his mind? Or?
No, not by the way we were preparing and focusing, nor was I at the same time trying to look at that with players.
Does it make you question anything going back?
No, because if I didn't have that information, I'm not going to question anything that we've done.
Doug, really, is PJ Manuel your franchise quarterback?
Well, that's something we'll look at throughout this offseason. By sheer numbers, we're going to have to add one, maybe two more. But that's something that we're going to go through and with a fine-tooth comb and see if we can figure it out.
We're up to you. Would you have played EJ yesterday?
With the information we just found out about Kyle, or what are you talking about?
Both, I guess. First off, no, not without the information. Last week, would you have played EJ?
I look at it this way. Coach is in charge of the 46 guys on the field. I'm in charge of the 53. We discuss things every day. So I was full support on every decision he's made this year.
You weren't able to say affirmatively that EJ is your franchise quarterback. After sitting here last year and swearing by him, making a trade based on him being your franchise guy, helping him out, how disappointing is it to sit there and not be able to say, yes, he is?
I wouldn't say it's disappointing. It's something that we're going to have to see. I mean, I can't sit there and say because he did take us a little bit of a regression back, but we've also seen some progression in what he's been doing in practice. So it's to be determined. But again, we're going to do our due diligence and leave every option open at that position, along with other positions on the team.
Yesterday, he didn't play the final 12 games this season. How do you evaluate him between now and August, knowing he won't play another game until August?
Same way you evaluate everybody else, just how he's going to pick up and how he progresses through the OTA process, how he comes in off the season, if he's in shape and his mind's ready, and then just go from there, just like we're going to have to evaluate any position that we bring in new guys or old guys. That hey, it's a year-to-year league, and you have to prove yourself every year.
For Doug Marrone, it's been reported that you have a three-day window to opt out of your contract. Is that something you plan to utilize?
We'll stick to 2014 questions. That doesn't have to do with 2014 season.
Was 2014 your last year as Bills coach?
I can't answer that question.
Okay, three-day opt.
I mean, I will tell you this, and my background has been the same, and you guys can look into it. I do not discuss my contract, and that's my rule. I never have and never will.
Question for Coach Marrone. I know you got thorough review coming up on everything, but can you talk about the issues on offense and, you know, maybe what went well on offense, if anything?
Well,
what went wrong?
I mean, I think that's going to be obviously more of the major point, you know, when people look at it from the standpoint of, you know, the performance. And we'll go back and look at those 16 games and figure out, you know, how we can improve. But make no mistake, we're always looking to improve in other three phases. But I think that one will take more of a precedent, obviously, in what we have to do.
Will the coaching staff from 2014 return?
Well, again, you know, for me right now, you know, we just got done with the players today. We'll sit down, you know, myself and Doug and Russ, and, you know, we'll talk about all the, you know, the situations and evaluations once we gather all that information.
Question for Doug Whaley. Mm-hmm. If you had known EJ would take the step back that he did, would you have given up a 2015 first-round pick to move up and get Sammy Watkins?
I look at it this way. We're extremely happy with Sammy Watkins, and we expect big things from him. And I'll let you guys discuss if the trade was worth it, but we're happy with the player, and we're expecting big things from him. And I also look at it this way. Drafting isn't the only way you can acquire a player in this league, so there are other avenues we can explore.
Seeing what the other rookie wide receivers in this class did, does it make it a little bit tougher to swallow?
Knowing what you gave up to get Sammy Watkins, knowing that he was out.
Not at all. Not at all. We're extremely happy, like I said, with his play this year, and we look for bigger and better things coming in the future.
Do you maintain that move was in the best interest of the long-term future of the franchise?
I think so. I mean, we got a number one wide receiver, and if we didn't have a number one wide receiver, we'd still be looking for one. So in the long-term future, however long he plays, and if he's here with the Buffalo Bills, we expect him to put up number one wide receiver numbers.
Doug Whaley, if given the fact that offensive line was an issue throughout the season, mm-hmm. are you disappointed in maybe the performance and the lack of playing time of some of the higher offensive line picks, such as Quanjo and Henderson?
You look at it this way. We want to be consistent. And across the board throughout this whole team, we weren't good enough to attain our stated goal. So, yeah, everybody's got to get better. And it starts with me, starts with Coach, starts with all of us. And we want to get better. And way with doing that is getting consistency and getting competition. So we're going to continue to bring in players to get us to where we want to go.
Doug Marrone, just to follow up on the O-line, being a former offensive lineman and a former offensive line coach, are you disappointed that you couldn't get more out of your offensive line play this year, knowing that that was part of your expertise?
Well, not the expertise part, probably no. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go that way. But you're always disappointed when you're not getting, you know, what your expectation is out of either A, a player, or B, a group, or three, a unit, you know, and so on down the line, and obviously with the team. So, you know, you have that. And again, you know, Doug and I have been in discussions throughout the year, you know, and how we're going to, you know, move forward, things of that nature, making notes. So this way now when we get to the process of, you know, how to get more production out of that unit, we'll know exactly what the plan is going forward, as well as, you know, any other part of the team that we feel we have to, you know, do a better job of. So, but make no mistake about it, you know, like I said before, I feel very comfortable with Cyril coming back and making a move. I think that he's done some good things, and I'm looking forward. I think that Cyrus Quanjo is one of those players that really did a good job during the season, much better now than he was when he was playing in the preseason. So it'll be interesting to see if that can carry over onto the field for a competition, you know, and who plays.
You're still evaluating the team right now. How would you assess the job that Nate Hackett has done this year? Would you ever consider changing at that spot?
Well, I think, again, it's like I said before, when a discussion of change of coaches and everything, I think we'll all get together and we'll evaluate it. I'll get all the information. That's what we're gathering right now, statistically, things of that nature. There's a lot that goes into an evaluation for everyone, like I'm sure that goes into an evaluation of myself as a head coach. So we'll look at that, and those discussions will go from, you know, obviously our owner, and then obviously myself and Doug, and then obviously to the offensive staff, defensive staff, special teams. Everyone's evaluated from me on down.
How long, Doug Marrone, do you anticipate that process taking place?
It takes a couple of weeks to get the information together. You're building it during the year, but it's never quickly ready available for you right after the season's over. So what you need to do is there needs to be a little, hey, let's take a step back from the emotion of the season, you know, a couple of days for that to settle in. And then you go and you gather that information and you start meeting on it and start discussing it.
The body of work, when you present this body of work, I'll start with Whaley. When you present the season as a body of work, going back to the draft and the additions made, how do you present that, and how do you craft that message, what you believe, to the Pegulas?
Encouraged, not satisfied. I mean, we took a step forward, but we obviously, again, did not meet our stated goals. There were some good things that came out of this season, and there are some things that obviously we have to do better, and as a whole, as an organization, and as a football team, and as a personnel staff. Everybody's got to strive to get better. and get us where we want to go, and that's the playoffs.
A lot of people are going back to that draft and the trade to Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. It happened. It didn't happen in a vacuum. It happened without ownership. Do you feel that in retrospect things might have been different if there wasn't the uncertainty hanging over this franchise's head?
Not in my mind. We were, I mean, as I say, when we set up our draft board, we have a line of guys that if they're still there and it makes sense, we will trade up for. And then we have a line that we won't trade away from these guys, and there's a line. The third line is we can trade all the way back to this guy and still feel comfortable. So that's going to be the same process how we attack this draft.
When you go to one, he had left Dallas, and they thought he was retired. Mm-hmm. So there was that hangover that you considered. Mm-hmm. Did you discuss that with him at all when you brought him here, that maybe he won't hang around for a year?
We didn't discuss how long he would hang around, but he said he wouldn't have come here unless he was fully committed. So we took him at his word, and he was committed for this year, for sure.
Are you disappointed in Portland City?
Right now, it's still trying to process it. I can't be disappointed with a guy that says his heart's not in it, because this is a game where you have to be 100% in, and I would not want a guy in here that wasn't 100%. So I respect his decision. I respect what he brought to our team this year, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Same question for Coach.
Yeah, I think same as Doug, you know, in the beginning, you know, but, you know, I was hoping that Kyle would be with us.
Can you repeat that question? Because I missed the beginning of it. I'm sorry.
Disparity in terms of the production of the offense, right, and the defense. Do you think that was a reflection of the coordinators, of scouting, or of the quarterback play?
Well, I think I've answered those questions, you know, pretty much throughout the whole season. And like I said before, we have a lot of talented players on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we went through two coordinators, two schematic changes, you know, and still got better production. And it's a credit, still a credit to the coaches, a credit to the players on that side of the ball. I think that, you know, when you look at the offense side, it's just like Doug and I'm talking about, you know, we have to do a better job, you know, from, you know, myself to the coaches, coordinator, however it is, but and players also. And I think that we all have to be accountable for that. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we get that better, because everyone knows if we don't do that and maintain getting better in the other phases, we're not going to be where we want to be.
Doug Whaley, when Coach Marone decided to bench E.J. Manuel, he made it clear that it was his decision, that he wasn't necessarily looking for agreement across the board. Were you disappointed to move on from E.J. Manuel so soon?
No, I was not disappointed. Like I said, it's coach's decision on who plays and the 46, and we talk about it just like we talk about everything. Or even when, from my side, we're looking to add a player, and I'll talk to him about what my thought process is. He told me about his thought process, and I said, I'm fully behind you, Coach.
And I think that's where people maybe get things misinterpreted a little bit. You know, I had made that decision. But again, it's not like you make a decision and you go out there and not tell anyone. You know, obviously I made that decision, and Doug was the first person I spoke to and said, this is the way we really need to go right now at this point in time, which gives us the best chance to win. And then, you know, and Doug was great, because he just said, you know, hey, I see the same things you see, and I agree with it.
Did both of you believe that E.J. Manuel can lead this team to the playoffs, and if so, why?
What was that again?
You both believe that E.J. Manuel can lead this team to the playoffs, and if so, why?
Well, I tell you this, and this is what happened. When we saw, you know, where he was at the time that we made the change, you know, obviously I met with him and talked to him about how he's going to handle things, which will probably give us a better indication of, you know, where he's going to be. I thought that he did a very good job. I think that his accuracy has gotten better. I thought his decision-making on where to go with the ball has gotten better. From a standpoint of where he was in practice and what, you know, we were looking for him to do and taking reps against our defense. You know, but in saying that, you know, and you can see improvement in that part of the game, you still have to be able to do that when you get onto the field. So, you know, having that now and having those days and having, you know, what he does now and in the off season to prepare himself to compete, I think we'll know more when that time comes.
I think it was, in my opinion, talking to E.J. is a beneficial step in his career, because he was able to take a deep breath, decompress, and see how someone else does it, a guy that's been in the league for a while and has had some success. So I think he picked up some nuances that he can incorporate into his game and hopefully get him to where we want him to be, where he wants him to be. And that's a starting quarterback that can produce at a high level in this league. But, again, like Coach says, you really won't know for sure. We can see progress until the lights go on next year and have him play.
I wasn't there last night, but on Instagram and social media, some of the players posting pictures somewhat celebratory or at least excited about yesterday's win. Do you think after yesterday's win there was something to be excited about? Do you think that's fair? I mean, given that you didn't make it to the playoffs and it was a lot of stuff.
Okay, the first part of that question, yeah, I think you're always excited when you win because it's very difficult to win in this league. The second thing, the players truly understand the disappointment of not being where we want to be. The next thing, and I said this during the week, was, you know, you get a win, at least it takes some of that bad taste out of your mouth.
When it comes time to evaluate this regime, who gets responsibility for drafting EJ Manuel?
I always say it's a Buffalo Bills pick. I mean, you guys can assign blame wherever you want, but and when we're in draft meetings, it is a consensus recommendation for our whole organization of where we think this guy's valued and where we should pick him in the draft.
For Doug Whaley, prior to Coach Marone being hired, Russ Brandon spoke of the organization becoming forward-thinking, progressive, used words like that. You've seen your offense now regress from 19th to 26th in the league in 2 years under Coach Marone. So knowing that, what evidence do you have to back up that you have a coach that fits those criteria?
Well, that's what we're going to do, like Coach says. We're going to evaluate this organization from top to bottom, and we'll start after this meeting, after this press conference, and go from there and get into the nitty-gritty of it and the bolts and find out how we can improve.
Does the decision make it more likely to draft a quarterback in the next draft?
We'll leave all options open for acquiring a quarterback. We don't want to put ourselves in a corner and show our hand. But, yeah, we'll leave every option open.
When Kyle informed you of his decision to move on, I mean, how did that go down? Did he hand you a letter, or did you talk to him?
Well, the first thing was,
and how long was the conversation?
When I came in, obviously, when I came in this morning, Kyle came up to see me prior to our team meeting and informed me of it. And I asked him, you know, hey, is this something that you're sure about? You know, a lot of times when you make decisions like this, you know, you need to spend some time, you know, thinking about it. You know, and I told him, hey, I recommend that, you know, you take some time and think about it before you come to a decision. But he said that he was, you know, he was ready. And, you know, in this game, you got to respect, you know, the player's decisions. And, you know, as soon as I was informed, I informed, you know, Russ Brandon. I told Russ to make sure that he told Doug at the time, because I was texting or trying to call the owner and telling him what was going on.
Question for Doug Whaley. Do you have in your mind what you'd like the roster to look at quarterback, at least you still feel a need for like maybe a more veteran presence than EJ moving forward?
That's something that we're going to obviously talk to Coach about and evaluate, but like I said, told Sully, we're going to leave every option open of how many and what type that we're going to add to the roster.
How much flexibility do you have in the salary cap to acquire quarterbacks?
I mean, we'll have to look at the numbers, and again, that goes in with our evaluation process that we'll start here soon.
Is there a mock estimate right now, though?
I want to say 16, or so. I'm not sure. I'm not, yeah. We'll have to look at it. I haven't even started looking at that stuff yet.
Players who could be gone now. Your thoughts on Jerry Hughes moving forward?
Productive player. Brings a lot of energy to our defense. We're excited that we have him on the team, and we'll do everything we can to keep him.
What about CJ?
CJ, same thing. He's obviously didn't have a year that he probably wanted this year with the injuries, but we think he can bring something to our offense and be a nice addition and a nice weapon for us.
With the emergence of both Preston Brown and Nigel Brandon this year and Kiko coming back next year, is there a spot for Brandon Spikes?
That's something we'll have to evaluate, and we'll have to see where he is and what he's thinking and if it fits where we think he could fit into our defense. So it's something we'll evaluate.
For Coach Marone, you've been asked before in regards to CJ, but why has he not, I know injury aside this year, why has he not been able to reach the level of production in 2 years with your staff that he was in 2012 under Chandler?
Well, a little bit, I think we'll look about it as far as the schematics of what we're trying to do. Obviously, we went back and looked at a lot of the stuff that he was successful with, when Chan was here as a coach. And a lot of times you can't set up a system, where it's successful for one person. You're trying to, set up a system where you can have success and win games. So, we've got to look at that and try to figure out what's the best way going forward to try to duplicate those numbers and at the same time making sure that we're winning games.
Going back for a second to who's responsible for the EJ pick, mm-hmm. You said we can assign blame where we want. Is that an admission that pick was a failure?
No, that's what you were trying to say.
So I said responsibility.
Responsibility, blame. I wouldn't say it was a failure. His career is not over. It's just getting started. So that's how I feel.
Doug, in the big picture.
You keep saying Doug. We're both Doug. I always get confused, John.
Coach.
And you're kind of looking right in between right there. So if you go like Doug.
Go coach and Doug. Yeah. There you go.
Or
if you – The fact that you couldn't get a third receiver on the field very often, or in the fact that a guy like Mike Williams or before that Stevie Johnson, couldn't fit with this team, did you feel that you needed to bring more protection for your quarterback and therefore limited the number of things that you could do as far as offense goes?
Well, strategically we went into there and I'm thinking that, and I don't know if this is the answer, and if it's not, just make sure you stop me. What do we have to do to win games? I think that's the most important thing. You don't want to run a team with three separate entities. And I thought that we did a good job this year from a standpoint of the team knowing exactly what had to be done in those three phases. With the receiver situation, when you look at it, Kyle's numbers from a completion percentage, the numbers of receivers that had over those catches, 60 catches from that. But we need to do a better job situationally, when you look at our season from a red zone standpoint and third down standpoint and get better. Whether it's increasing those numbers, I don't know as far as receptions, catches, but the one increase in numbers is obviously touchdowns and third down catches and first downs.
So to let me understand this. You felt that the offense, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No.
There was a feeling that when you talk about the three phases, that the offense, there was a decision to be a little bit more conservative on offense as opposed to high tempo and big play?
Well, some games we want to slow down. Some games we want to speed up. Obviously, we're always looking to see how we can create big plays. To answer your question, though, and like I said most of the year, is that the efficiency level, you go back to yesterday, and you look at that first drive. Well, everyone, will say, wow, that was a hell of a first drive. You did this different and this different. We really didn't. We called the same play, but we were able to be efficient and make plays and go down the field and score. And it's the same thing as the tale of two halves. The second half, we knew what was going on. We didn't have to make many adjustments because of the coverage situation that we're in. And we're doing the same type of things, but we weren't getting the same results. And that's the difficult part of it is that, you need to field, a team or a unit, that can be efficient. That's why I've always used that word during the year.
Can you give an example, either guy, as to how your analytics department helped you out this year?
We like that proprietary information, so we like to get that in with us just because we don't want to, show our hand. People are going to be watching this and, how'd they use it, so...
How has the implementation of that, since it's new, mm-hmm. or it was, relatively speaking, when you all came aboard, how has it been? Can you give as to how much more you've leaned on it or how just how it's evolved since its infancy?
Oh, I know from my standpoint, I'll go to Michael Lyons and I'll be thinking of something and say, hey, can you run some numbers on this? And let me see. So it's situationally, and there's things that come up that you might want to really delve into the numbers a little more, and then that's when we lean on Michael Lyons, and it will get ramped up even more with this offseason coming on when we start looking at free agency and also looking at the draft board.
Thank you.
You've been happy with it?
Yes, extremely. I mean, obviously, we're just scratching the surface because it's new to me, and Michael has been great to work with, and the more and more things that and projects that we come up with, the more and more we'll be able to use.
Is that more of a front office thing, or how much does it impact the coaching?
Well, I think it's used in, like I said, you know, what Doug's responsibility are and how he uses it, you know, is obviously going to be a separate entity to how we use it. So obviously, you guys know I talk about it all the time. I use it, you know, quite a bit in a lot of things. And I think that, you know, we have some thoughts and ideas that we've put around that we're going to be able to take this thing to a level where I don't think anyone else around is able to do it now because of my experience of using those, you know, the analytics. But it's not going to be from a standpoint of, I think, like a lot of people here realize, you know, with just like down and distance or fourth down and things like that. That's, you know, that's in there and it's part of it, but it's not even close of what you can use it for to help you become better schematically, matchup wise, and things of that nature. So, you know, I'm excited, and obviously you guys know we use it. I use it in a lot of different things that we do to only help really give you another form of information, not necessarily. That's going to be the tell-all, and that's it.
Coach, so you weren't talking about the future, but how encouraged are you by the past two seasons, your first two as a head coach, relative to how close this team is to being what you want to be, a playoff team?
Well, I mean, you know, coming in, and obviously the conversations when it goes back to originally the conversations during the interview process, you know, when I was first being interviewed of, you know, how we want the team built, you know, and where we wanted to do it. And Doug was involved with it at the time, even though, you know, obviously Buddy was there, you know, and going with the building it defensively. And then, you know, after last season was over, you know, Doug and I, you know, talked and we made a conscious effort to build a, you know, do better on special teams, you know, and get the field position thing, you know, straightened out because we weren't doing a very good job there. And we made a conscious effort to go out and get that better, and we did. I think at the end of the day, I didn't get all the stats from yesterday's game, but going into yesterday's game from a composite of special teams, you know, we were third in the NFL, you know, from a composite. So, you know, now the next thing is to get better still on defense and special teams, but, you know, we need to make sure that we discuss what's the best thing moving forward in an effort to improve ourselves offensively to get us there. As far as the season, I think when you look back, you know, it's like I said yesterday, you see a lot of things, you know, people will point to the Oakland game, but it goes back even further than that. It goes back, you know, to really every game, you know, that you're not able to do. You know, can you use that as a point going forward? If everyone truly understands and are educated in their beliefs about how difficult it is to win, how much you have to prepare and focus, and how you have to be ready, you know, to play, you know, every single game, every single week, and be able to play at a level of efficiency, you know, that you can win. If you can do that, then you look at what's happened this season, and yes, you can build off that. But make no mistake, you're going to have to go back to the beginning and build that same foundation, but you're able to use the season to help you support what your message is.
In that sense, Doug Marrone?
Yes.
How potential big of a setback might it be for this offense to be starting with potentially its third quarterback or going with a third quarterback in 3 years? And how much of a setback might that potentially be?
It could be. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and deny that it's not going to be. But, you know, we just have to see how it works out and what our plan is moving forward.
How did the owners react to Orton's retirement when you were able to reach him?
I think the same questions that everyone brought up here was the same questions that Terry brought up.
This is for Doug Whaley. What expectations that you have for the Mike Williams trade and where they met in your mind based on this offseason?
We were looking for a guy to come in and help us. And the way we assessed it is 6th round to a proven NFL veteran or a 6th round rookie, and we thought it was a deal that was palatable for us as well as for Tampa. Obviously, it didn't work out the way we wanted, but we will always research and do our due diligence to keep adding good players.
Why didn't it work out in your mind, either of you?
Yeah. Well, I think because, you know, Robert, you know, there was a point where Mike was playing better than Robert Woods. That happened in camp. You guys were at camp saw that. And then there was a point where Robert Woods started playing better. So, you know, you're looking at Robert Woods and Sammy, you know, those players stepped up, you know. Mike's position wasn't an inside player in the slot, and we felt, you know, Chris Hogan was coming along, and Chris was a better option for us at slot with Robert staying outside rather than moving Robert in and Mike coming in. So that was a decision we made that people got better, and it had nothing to do with Mike and his performance. He was just, you know, beat out, you know, by those guys, in our opinion, as coaches. So that's how that went down. And again, I believe, if I'm not correct, that we acquired Mike before the draft.
Before the draft.
So, you know, we didn't realize that, you know, we were going to be able to get someone like Sammy to play on the outside also.
Rome, what worries, what concerns do you have about the potential of, you know, Jim Schwartz being – having head coaching experience to have to be in the same position where you were a year ago with Mike Pettine?
I think we did a good job, you know what I'm saying, when Mike left, and I think there was a lot of questions of it. I think Jim has done an outstanding job. We're very happy, obviously, with what he's done here. And, you know, when that time comes, we'll be able to, you know, go where we need to go.
You have contingency plans, though, about what you do if he left?
Now, how many weeks have we been together? Do you think there's contingency plans on everything? You know, and everyone's backed up. Everything goes that way. I think if you ask any coach that, they would know.
Since he started experimenting with Kwanjo in the interior at guard, how has he looked in the many weeks that he's been over there? And is it your idea to keep him there?
Well, I tell you, you know, he went in there, and it's much more difficult, like I said before, to move outside in. You know, it's so much easier to move inside out. So in saying that, we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to make a mistake, you know, in being able to play our best five, so we moved them inside. If you're asking me right now, I still think he's probably better suited to be outside. And I think the thing that's probably a little bit unfair to everyone here is that they probably haven't seen the movement skills that have increased during the year for him. And that was the one thing that we all saw in the preseason, that wasn't, you know, his movement skills. He wasn't moving as well as he needed to move, you know, to play at that position. So I think that, you know, his movement skills has improved, so I'm excited to see where he goes. And then obviously we'll have to look at positionally where people go and moving around, because, you know, he's been mostly on the right side.
When you guys drafted him in the second round, was the plan for him to almost have a redshirt year, or you just didn't get as much as you expected when he showed up to training camp?
Well, I look at this where we saw a lot of talent in the player, and we said, hey, if he lives up to his talent level, we'll be able to get a productive player. And I think, like Coach said, he started out slow in camp, and other guys moved ahead of him, but we're excited for what we've been seeing lately on the practice field.
A 3-win improvement, does that make this season a success, or is it a failure because you didn't finish play?
Again, like my statement is, we're encouraged, but we're not satisfied. We got some things that we did and we can build on, but again, we can't be satisfied until we get to the playoffs.
Based on the fact that both you two are first-timers at your positions at the NFL level.
There you go.
And based on how this season went, this past season went, do you feel there is a need for any oversight on the football side based on how things went this season?
You know, again, that's not a decision that I'm able to make. So I don't concern myself with it.
Going back to Kwanjo.
Same thing. Okay. I mean, that's not up for me to make a decision on. I'm just going to keep doing hard work.
And I would say this, you know, Chris Harrison came back. I think we were in a situation where we really had a couple of guys that, you know, had good experience playing tackle, and you're happy with that. You can, you know, never really have enough good offensive tackles. But I think the same point of when we were talking about Mike, you know, Chantrell Henderson came up, you know, and really blossom into a heck of a player. And I was always afraid to say it during the year about how well he was playing, because I think that's difficult, you know, for people to see in an offensive line. But when you look back at the 16 games, you know, 15 out of those 16 games, he was a productive, winning type of player for us, you know, outside of the one game.
All
Are either of you concerned that the struggles that Cordy Glenn had over the second half of the season might indicate that he may not be the left tackle that maybe you guys thought he would be?
I think those are the things that you look at. I think that obviously, you know, that it's always a concern when someone's struggling, and you have to come up with answers and put people in the best position. Doug and I have talked about that during the year, you know, about what was going on. We've had those conversations with Cordy. So now we have to see how it goes moving forward of what's best for the team.
To flip Chantrell to the left side?
It's always an option, obviously. Whatever, however we get the best five out there playing, the faster we can do it, the better we'll be.
With the season over, maybe you've had a chance to digest over the last 24 hours, you don't strike me as the kind of guy that does shoulda, coulda.
What strikes you as the kind of guy that what?
Wouldn't do the shoulda, coulda.
Game. Oh, yeah. But we all do, though.
What really sticks out over the season of the one that maybe one play or moment that
yeah battled? I don't know I don't think it's fair to put it on one play, but I think you start going back and the first thing you look at is the games that you know you lost, and you start reliving those. And like I said yesterday, you know, when you go through that evaluation and you go back and look at those games, it hurts just as much as it did during that time. And you know, you always question, you know, hey, what could I have done as a head coach to make it better, to where we could have been more efficient, or we could have eliminated, you know, the turnovers. You know, you look at New England, it was a turnover situation. You know, you look at Houston, it was a turnover situation. There's a lot of things, and I mean, that come into play. And I think you look at that and you start to realize, gosh, you know how close we were. And but yet at the same time, you have to say, you know, hey, when this thing starts again, we've got to go through all these all the process again, you know, and make sure that we can build it so that those things don't occur. And you're not looking back and saying that.
Is there a chief regret or one that really sticks out? Or
which one do you have? I know you have one. Which one do you want me to say? No. I really think. And Tim, I look at it as really overall. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think you can't minimize some things that happened during the course. It could have been a poor kick in field position. It could have been a defensive holding penalty that gives someone the first down. It could have been, you know, a second and three and you get an offensive holding, or a third and three, you pick it up and you have a penalty. You know, so the way I'm built is all those things go into play, and it's never really been, you know, the one situation that really did it. There's always about four or five plays per game that you can really, you know, put your hat on.
It doesn't sound like a good way to live.
That's why I'm always like I am.
Got time for a couple more, guys.
With a largely veteran roster, especially in defense, do you think it would be risky at all if you had to go back to EJ at quarterback? Do you worry at all about the locker room and that type of scenario, given that he was
benched? You know, when you say worry about the locker room, do you mean as far as them not having faith in a player playing?
Yeah, reception and their outlook.
Well, I've always said this. I have a lot of respect for players that, you know, the one thing players know, they know who should be playing and who shouldn't to a great extent. So I think it's important, and that's where it comes for responsibility, that we put players on the field that the – you know, everyone's able to see it, has earned that right to be on the field and can be productive enough for us to win and efficient enough. So, you know, that's always the case. You never want to put someone in there where the players don't have faith at not just the quarterback position, but that's going to get more play, but really any position.
In retrospect, for both Dougs, do you feel that maybe you over or under evaluated? I'm not sure if it's over or under, but the need to address the quarterback, the veteran quarterback situation, earlier this past year than having to wait for Ward. Do you feel that that was maybe a misstep in your respective evaluation?
Well, at the time when we got finished with the season, we were comfortable with Thad Lewis because he came in and won some games for us. And granted, he wasn't a vet, but we thought, all right, we could go along with these two young guys and Jeff Toole, three young guys. And go from there. Thad regressed, and he did not come in and live up to what He can tell you what he expected of himself and what we expected of him. So at that time, I would say you have a plan, but you got to be light on your feet. So when we saw that Thad wasn't progressing the way we wanted, that we had to explore other options, and then that's when Orton came to mind.
Coach Marone, do you have any regrets about the way CJ was used before he went down with the injury?
Who's that?
CJ.
CJ Spiller? No, because if it would be my decision, so I don't have any regrets for that.
No, last one day.
You may not see it for a while. Do you have an update on Kiko Alonso, how he's coming along, and whether you expect him to be in the spring camp going in?
Well, right now we're under the impression, with outside of any setback, that he should be cleared soon.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right.